Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call on the Q1 results of 2012. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press zero zero on your push button phone. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Herman Vessen. Please go ahead.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call on DSM's first quarter results 2012, which we published earlier today. Sitting here with me are Mr. Feike Sijbesma, CEO and Chairman of the DSM Managing Board, and Mr. Jean-Pieter Zwaan, CFO and member of the DSM Managing Board. They will elucidate on the results and after that answer your questions. In respect to the Q&A, I would like to ask you to limit the number of questions to two to give more people the opportunity to ask questions, as this call will only last approximately 20 minutes. As a reminder, I am obliged to say that today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements, and in that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Jean-Pieter Zwaan.
Thank you, Herman. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this conference call on the 2012 first quarter results. As you can see in our press release, in a challenging business environment, DSM continued to make good progress in Q1. Robust results represent a positive start to 2012. In Life Sciences, Nutrition continued to deliver excellent performance despite the currency headwinds, benefiting from the acquisition of MAGTEC and continued organic growth. Material Sciences delivered an improved performance compared to the previous quarter in Performance Materials and another good result in Polymer Intermediates. Overall, EBITDA was €306 million, 4% higher than in the fourth quarter 2011. Compared to last year's first quarter, EBITDA was 6% lower. This can be almost completely attributed to the anticipated drop in Polymer Intermediates, which had record results in 2011. DSM has successfully transformed itself into a Life Sciences and Material Sciences company. Our attractive portfolio in health, nutrition, and materials, together with our broad geographic spread with a significant presence in high-growth economies and our very strong balance sheet, has positioned us well to deliver shareholder value with stronger, more stable growth and profitability. Overall, DSM remains cautiously optimistic for the year 2012 on its way to achieve the 2013 targets. And now, with this short introduction, I would like to open the line for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. To be registered for questions, you may press star 1 at any time. If you're on speakerphone, please pick up your headset before pressing the keys. The first question is from Mrs. Maaike Noordhuis, Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. Well, I'll limit myself to two questions then. with regards to your Polymer Intermediates business, you started a turnaround this quarter. I was just wondering, when do you expect that to complete, and what do you expect from caprolactam prices going forward in the year? And also, you've been quite busy on the M&A front recently. What's next on the agenda? Can we expect more sizable acquisitions coming quarter, and what sizes are we looking at? Thanks.
Okay, caprolactam first, your first question. Yes, we had a turnaround here in the Dutch line. That started and was basically done in March, but it finished beginning April, and the startup was in April, so the caprolactam line here is back up and running. But it has an impact also on Q2. The caprolactam prices always are volatile, and they will continue to be volatile. Most recently, if you look at the current pricing, and that is all pretty public, the prices have come down slightly again after an increase in the first quarter. Currently, they are a bit lower again. On the opposite, the benzene price, which is important, is slightly up, so the margin caprolactam over benzene has come down somewhat in April, May now. But going forward, very difficult to predict, always will be volatile as in the past. But as we said before, last year was, of course, a very exceptional year with record performance, and we do not expect that to repeat this year.
With regards to polymer intermediates, right?
Yes, that was the polymer intermediate question.
Okay, because you say it will be clearly lower than 2000 L. So what is clearly lower than?
Yeah, we don't quantify that more precisely. Oh. But if you look at the first quarter results, then it is still one of the best quarters which this business has if you exclude 2011.
Right.
So it is still a very good profitability. 16% EBITDA margin in the first quarter is clearly above our long-term targets.
Okay.
On acquisitions, yes, the strategy is clear. Going forward, we have changed the portfolio of the company clearly to the better mix. And this improved portfolio and the divestments which we have gone through in the last years have left us with quite some capacity to acquire. And so far we did Martek last year most prominently, but about 7 or 8 other acquisitions of smaller nature. And now recently, last week, we announced the acquisition of Cantinesh. And of course we want to do more. Now we will of course never talk about individual targets and names and so on, but the objective is clear. We want to grow the company in the strong portfolio which we have today also through acquisitions.
And are you looking at nutrition acquisitions specifically or in other businesses as well?
Yeah.
I remember you had the ambition to grow more in nutrition, so...
No, but that's not what you said. We want to grow the whole company, but the acquisitions basically, if you look back in the last 18 months or so, have been in 3 areas. They have been in the innovation center, like Cantinesh is in biomedical, which is part of the innovation center. They have been in nutrition, like Martek, but there have also been acquisitions in the materials field, like an acquisition for Dyneema last year in October, an acquisition for resins last year in July. So it is those 3 areas, performance materials, nutrition, and the innovation center, where we are looking mainly for acquisitions.
All right. And you still have 2 billion available, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Checking that. Perfect. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, for any additional questions, please press star 1. So for any additional questions, please press star 1. The next question is from Mr. Andrew Noel, Bloomberg. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hi. If there's no other questions from anyone else, I just noticed in the report that there's been a change in the goals to sell maleic anhydride. If you could talk me through that one, I'm not sure I recall that before, or maybe you said it before.
Yeah, that business was announced that we wanted to divest it in the September of 2007. In the meantime, we have tried. The prices which we were offered were not such that we were pleased with it. The performance also improved substantially, so we said, let's stop it, let's just keep it. It's too small to worry about. It had been part of pharma before the announcement, and when we now decided to stop the divestment approach, we put it just back into pharma in the interim period. It had initially been in the cluster which we named Base Chemicals and Materials. That cluster was the cluster to be sold, and except for that one, business had been sold. And after that, we closed that cluster in our reporting and put the maleic anhydride business into other activities. And now we put it back into pharma where it came from originally. But it's too small to worry about, but we had to mention it in the press release because it's a regrouping within the segments which we report.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Mrs. Anna Fersman, AMP. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. I have a question on economic expectations. So, of course, you don't have any crystal ball, but maybe you could talk me through to what you expect from both in the U.S. and Europe and China also in particular.
Yeah, that is probably one of the most difficult questions because of the lack of a crystal ball for anybody. What we see is that the U.S. in the beginning of the year clearly has been relatively good, pretty good. now more recently, there are more question marks coming up. In Europe, we have again or still the huge uncertainty with the euro that goes up and down. Sometimes it is a feeling that it is solved and then the economy might improve. Sometimes there is a feeling again, well, again, big difficulties. Maybe we are again in these days at the moment after the elections which happened at the last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And in the high-growth economies, we see somewhat lower growth rates, but still, of course, growth rates which are far above which we have here in Europe or in North America. I mean, if China is talking now about 7.5 or 8 point something, 8.2, 8.3, that is still an enormous growth compared to what we see here. But it is also a little bit lower than we saw it in the last years, where China reported 9% or more growth rate. Okay. So all in all, still quite some uncertainty that also is defining our way of looking forward, and that's why we, in all that volatility and uncertainty, we say at the end we are cautiously optimistic, but of course with quite some uncertainty.
Okay, and about China, how do you see that developing? Is it going to stay on 7-8%, or do you think it's going to be lower than that, or what's the way forward?
Despite the simplifying, maybe one addition on China. The growth in China is mainly caused by three factors. That is the investments, and they were heavy in the last couple of years, done by the Chinese government. They are fading out of the system. There was 500 billion since 2008, and that is, of course, reducing the growth rate of China also. The second is re-export of products manufactured in China, produced for electronics or toys or whatever in the rest of the world. That is a little bit on the pressures, especially we export to Europe for obvious reasons about the European economy. And the third one is the growth of the domestic market, just by urbanization, people move to the cities and have a different consumption pattern. The last one, DSM, is benefiting the most of. So even when the growth rates in China go down a little bit, we will suffer, of course, if that is due to re-export, because we're also benefiting from that. But to a large degree, we also benefit from the domestic consumption. And the domestic consumption will take a bigger part of that maybe reduced growth figure than it had in the past. That is also what the Chinese Prime Minister recently confirmed. And that is, to a certain degree, positive news, whilst you might see even a reduced growth figure of China.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, for any additional questions, please press star 1. So for any additional questions, please press star 1.
If there are no additional questions, then I would like to close this call. Thank you for this early hour, and at 9 o'clock there's the investor call, to which you can listen through our website, and all the documents you can also find on our website. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the DSM conference call. Thank you for attending. You may now disconnect your line. Have a nice day.